Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, August 4th, 2016. This is Payman Motahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Every Thursday night, folks, I conduct these weekly conference calls in which I educate the average ordinary American about the law, your rights, and how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. Folks, I came from Iran in 1977 at the age of 14 to the land of the free, home of the brave, so I was told. And I found myself in the land of the meek and the home of the indentured instead. I found out 24 years ago through some wonderful patriotic Americans that there are the document called the U.S. Constitution that guarantees many of your rights, that it has not been supposedly violated by the government, but I found out it has been violated. And I also was taught that there is no law that requires the average American like you or me to file and pay the federal income tax. It's all a big lie. It's all a big fraud, folks. And the problem is, the average American, no idea what's going on. Because in the public school system, the government schools, they deliberately do not teach us about the law and our rights and the U.S. Constitution, about how our government works, how it's supposed to work. Because that way, we are more of a scared bunch of slaves only doing whatever we are told. And I found that if you know the law and your rights, you can live free a lot more than otherwise. I'm not going to say you're going to be completely free, but a lot more free if you assert and defend your rights, but understanding them first. So, folks, call Freedom Law School or go to our website, livefreenow.org. I sign up to our free Freedom Education Package. That free Freedom Education Package will be sent to you at no charge and will teach you about the law and your rights, how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. It will get you started at that. Folks, it's a start. It's not the end goal by itself, folks. Freedom Law School offers courses, Freedom Packages to educate you, empower you, support you, even write letters for you, if necessary, to get these thieves and criminals to the IRS and the government off of your back. And we have many, many victories at Freedom Law School, folks, to share with you about all that. You can go to livefreenow.org, and on the top center, you see our victories there. If you want to get a lot more detail, a lot more information, well, we have the other website, freedomlawschool.org. You will find even more information there available for you. So, folks, don't believe me is always my first thing. I think I'm right. I have strong opinions. I believe there's no law requiring you or me to file pay income tax. But you see, folks, I will teach you how to use the law library. It's so easy. You can verify it all for yourself. Freedom Law School makes law understandable and easy for the average ordinary guy with average intelligence. If I can do it as an immigrant from Iran, English being my second language, I'm sure you, as a Native American, born here and raised here, English being your first language, you can do it better and easier than me. Our first course, folks, It's called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level 1, a course on law and procedures for those who are committed to living a free life. And I tell you, folks, it's a must for everybody to have that course coming out of high school to understand the law and your rights. Things that we were not taught in our high school civics classes. So we're 18, wondering what the cops gonna do, the IRS is gonna do, the bureaucrat's gonna do, knock on your door, stop you on the road, write you a letter. What should you do? Folks, Freedom Law School will provide the answers and solutions that actually work for you. So again, go to livefreenow.org, and then freedomlawschool.org will also give you more education. Now tonight, like every other conference call, I have a class, sort of. I'll talk about a freedom subject. But before I get to that, I'll be answering any and all of your freedom questions that you may have. So the class subject will be about the recent victory of the IRS, that after 13 plus years that the IRS had me under investigation to whether to see I'm liable for penalties as an abusive tax shelter promoter, as abusive tax return preparer, and a bunch of other nonsense that the IRS was suspicious that I'm guilty of. Took them over 13 years of wasting taxpayers' money to finally say, you know what? We are calling it quits. We're calling it quits. After 13 plus years, we found nothing on you that you're doing any of that stuff. We're going to just, you know, throw in the towel. So we'll talk about that later on, my friend. But first, I want to be answering your freedom questions, because Freedom Law School, as I said, is a source of answers and solutions that work for you. So if you have any issues with the IRS, a state income tax agency, bureaucrats, police of any kind, I'll be happy to address and answer your questions. So let's go to our callers to see if you have questions. If you don't have any questions, folks, and you are simply waiting to hear about the recent long-term victory of Freedom Law School in the coming, that is fine. You can just say, I have no question, and I will go to the next person who may have a call. So let's see if our caller from area code 224, area code. If you have a question, folks, only give me your first name and your state for your privacy. Does the call from area code 224 have a question? If so, please give me your first name and your state, and then your question, please.
Yeah, it's Kevin from Illinois. Illinois.
Kevin from Illinois. Very good, my friend. Kevin, how may I assist you?
Hey, I have a level one course, and I also read through your how to be traffic tickets thing. But I just got a ticket that I've never had before, and I'm unsure about how to do it, because in your how to be traffic tickets thing, I didn't see any pure example. But can I just tell you about how it went, and then you give me your opinion?
You can give me a little bit about the traffic ticket, but before that, let me tell you something about our how I help people with traffic tickets. And you bring a very good issue. I'm sorry, what was your name one more time again, please?
Kevin.
Kevin, thank you, Kevin. Oh, you see, the first course of Freedom Law School, which is called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, a course in law and procedures. Yeah, I know you have it.
I know.
It is a beginner's course to teach you about various areas of law, like the IRS, traffic tickets, Basics of Legal Research. Law is the Law Library. Write a Legal Brief. Court Procedure. Fundamentals of Income Tax and Governmental Structures. How it's organized. So I cannot get into any subject in very deep detail because it would make the course too long. Level one course, as it is, it's about 20 hours of audio.
I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you, my friend.
So the course is the traffic part of the course is focused on California, my friend, because I was in California until a couple of years ago when I came to Florida. So it's all based upon California law. And America, as you know, is 50 different sovereign states in a union. And so the laws in every state are different, although they are fundamentally very similar. But the code section that they refer to and all that is organized and numbered differently. So we have to try to give you a few tips right now on this call maybe that I could do. But I want you to know that someone from out of California, we need our level one course, the traffic course, and the level two course to teach you how to do legal research on the laws of your state, Kevin, Illinois, to use in your case. But tell me about your case. Maybe I can assist you, my friend. Go ahead.
Okay. I already know the basics about how to sue people. So when you reply to me after I tell you this, you can go ahead and use the jargon that they use, like complaint, counterclaim, cross-claim, blah, 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 discovery. I'm going to know what you're talking about, most likely. So, all right, long story short, I may or may not have driven through an area where nobody was, and there happened to be a sign there telling me not to go through there, even though I counted as local traffic. Long story short, a cop gave me a ticket for $120. And first thing I noticed is that at the top it says Illinois citation and complaint. Right off the bat, I recognize this is not a verified complaint. It has no court-issued summons. It has not been issued by a clerk. There's no verification on it. And, you know, when you get I've never been sued, and I've never sued anybody else, but I know when you get sued, the summons is supposed to be issued by a court clerk, and it's supposed to have the addresses of the lawyers and the other person you're supposed to serve your answers upon if you're the defendant. So right off the bat, I recognize this citation and complaint from the cop is complete bullshit. Even though he checked the law, which describes what I did, and when you look at it, it's true, but there is no – he doesn't even have two of the three causes of action met for this to even be valid. But what I'm curious about is, since I've never gotten a ticket before and had to go into court to defend this, I was wondering how it would go. Am I just going to be like going in there and be like, yeah, I'd like to motion to dismiss due to violation of my due process rights and not telling me or not giving me a proper complaint. And, you know, there's no summons issued by a clerk, you know, so I could obtain discovery. And that's about it. Or will I have to cite some laws? I know what laws I would cite, but I'm just curious.
Yes, you'll have to cite some laws.
Okay, so
without you saying that, the judge is going to think you're crazy, you're wrong, and rule against you.
Do you think I would have to cite some case law as well to back it up?
Yes.
And that would be only when I go to the trial that they already set, you know, the thing that the cop filled out on.
I'm sorry, say it again, please.
And that would be, all right, at the bottom of the ticket, there's an already set date for me to go and contest this matter. And I would just do that in person, correct? Like, there's no way I could do it by, like, mailing an answer in. Because even when I went to the court website, they have this option that lets you check out the tickets or any case number against you. And mine's not even on there. You know, it's been 5 days so far.
Well, let me ask you a question before I go on. The ticket, on the bottom of it where you signed above it, what does it say?
It says, without admitting guilt, I promise to comply with the terms of this ticket and release. And I will. And that those terms require that I have to either show up at the courthouse at a certain day and time, or I can enter a plea with a trial by judge or jury.
Does he have a certain time that the plea has to appear on or before, or does the plea have to appear on that particular day only?
Can you please say that again?
Does the ticket have to appear on that day only, or can you appear on or before that date?
I can either show up at the court on that date and time, or
does the ticket give a definite time only? Does it say you have to be on that day, or does it say you can appear on that date or before, is my question.
Oh, it doesn't say that on the ticket. And when I was looking up the rules of procedure, he followed everything, and I didn't see any other thing where it would allow me to come in before. But if I enter a plea through a trial by judge or jury, they will give me a new date.
No, I understand that. Okay. The reason I ask is because in California, it used to be, I'm not sure if it is much anywhere, we'll see, but at some counties or cities where they give you tickets, on the ticket they say you could appear on or before.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do, you appear before the new date, before the process
right.
from the police agency to the court. The clerk said, your ticket's not here. You get a letter
right,
from the clerk that I was here. Later on, you send it to the court, says, hey, I did my promise, I appeared. You got the proof, the letter from the clerk, or notes from the clerk. So I don't have to come to court anymore. Unless you guys want to give me a complaint, this matter is over.
Yeah.
See, that's why I ask you to just say on or before. Some states, some counties across the country say on or before. Some just say on. So if you use the option before, you do want to go there now. Okay? That'll be one way you'll beat that. But that may not be the case, sounds like.
All right. So basically, I'm going to be walking in, and then I'll just be making my arguments, citing some laws, and not arguing with the judge, but just letting him know this is how my rights are violated.
Well, yeah, you have to basically, but you got to make it in writing. Unless you make it in writing, he's just going to say no to you. Very simple. Even when you do it in writing, they often rule against you.
I'm sorry. Can you please say it again? What about writing?
You have to make your motion in writing for the court to really halfway even take it seriously.
Oh, so I should make the writing beforehand and then just give it to them right on the spot? Or will it have to be verified by the court or something
the
like
court
that?
The day before or on the spot, either way is fine, yes. Uh-huh.
So on the day I go there, just go to the clerk and have it, like, copied by him or something?
No, not copied. You make multiple copies. Okay, you give two copies to the court. You know, extra copy for you, another copy for the government lawyer, if one ever were to show up to give it to them.
So
bottom line is, but he's not trying to, Kevin, listen. I got a lot of people on this call, and I can't take too long to give you a traffic ticket course, which is, so that's why, like I said, my friend, that's why I do the courses, is to help people do this stuff. Let me tell you about traffic course, the traffic ticket thing. The good thing about traffic ticket is the amounts are small, maybe a couple hundred bucks or $400 at most, typically. So you don't have much to lose. You get some practice trying this stuff and having some fun.
Yeah.
The worst case is you lose. Okay, we're going to lose anyhow and end up paying them. So you get the free exercise. So, so I would say, and you sound like you're not that old. You know, you don't sound like you're in your 70s. You sound maybe in your 30s or 20s. So that's what I did in my early 30s, okay, honestly. And I practiced this stuff and had some fun because I'm going to lose any hot pop maybe if not try it and win. And I did win.
To be honest, I since I may or may not have done that thing, I was actually kind of – I might have hoped that was happening, that would happen, you know.
You might have hoped that what would be happening.
It doesn't matter. No, don't worry. It's all right.
No problem, my friend. So the traffic ticket is one of those things that I really haven't been focused on for a long, long time because it's just, you know, people like you live in different states and I don't have a ticket, you know, a course, I should say, for each particular state. No.
It's fine.
So that's the problem with that situation. Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know that with traffic tickets, I could make my motions before, you know, because this is not even a verified complaint that he gave me. I didn't know I could make my motions before, like, on the court date, you know.
Yes, you can do it on that same day you come to court or the day before. That's fine. Either way.
Okay.
It's up to
all right.
You.
Mm-hmm. That's all. I have one more quick question. It'll be like
15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. On your order form, I just noticed that recently that you allow post money orders without with the pay to line left blank, and I know why you would do that. But is it possible to cash them without putting your name on them?
Is it possible to do what?
Possible cash postal money orders without your name on them.
You have to put your name on them. That is true. But you also have the option, if it's blank, to, if you owe money to somebody else, give them the money order, let them cash it.
Oh.
Or, or pay a bill with it, perhaps. That's why leaving it blank. Give you that extra flexibility. You don't always have to go and cash it.
Never thought of that. All right. Well, that's all. Thank you.
You're most welcome, Kevin. Thank you for calling. Let's now go to Sacramento, California area code 916. We have another caller. Do you have a question from area code 916?
Yes, I do. My name is Greg. I have a traffic court question as well.
Very good, Greg. And how may I help you?
So in my particular case, I was busted for driving without registration as well as driving without license plates. A couple days ago, I went to my initial, I guess they call it the arraignment. I thought it was going to be a trial, but it wasn't. Right there, the judge tries to pressure you into either guilty, not guilty, or no contest. He's going down the line real fast, you know, pressuring each person. So I went up there and I said, Your Honor, I would like a dismissal. I believe there's no valid cause of action. And we kind of went back and forth a little bit, and it was a kind of interesting moment. Basically what happened is I got my trial set for the 27th of this month. And so kind of along the lines of what Kevin asked, I was curious as to the process of filing the motions. I was looking, I forget where, but one place it said I could turn it in up to 5 days before the trial, and then another place said 20. And I feel like the judge kind of threw the trial at me kind of with short notice. So I don't know. Do you know what the proper day is for California, the proper days to submit the motion?
What motion you want to file?
So I was hoping to I was wondering, there's a couple ways I was thinking of doing it. I wanted to challenge the subject matter jurisdiction of the court. Secondly, I wanted to challenge the constitutionality, and I was going to cite Shapiro v. Thompson, Thompson v. Smith, Murdoch, Pennsylvania. And then thirdly, I was going to state that there was no cause of action upon which relief can be granted because of the Shuttlesworth v. Alabama decision, which says that I don't have to pay. So I was thinking, should I put all that in one motion, or should I file three separate motions? And you know, anything you can point me in the right direction to as far as you know, what where to get the information on how to do it properly, so they don't try to, you know, say I didn't cross all my T's or something and you know, get me on a technicality.
Well, you could do them if you wanted to do them in one motion, because there are different motions to challenge the court's jurisdiction or power to come after you. You just make them different subject headings for what you want to do. So I like, they're all about the same thing, essentially.
Okay. One motion. And my understanding is you have to have, like, a table of contents. And
No, it's not necessary. Not for a traffic ticket, no. For the courts of appeal, you generally do even trial level or court cases. If they're going to be too long, yeah, if it's going to be longer than 10 pages, that would be helpful. But no, generally you don't.
Okay. And also, so I have, I downloaded from, I think this was California Rules. This is the, it's like a motion application. Do I just put my argument along with that, or how do I submit that? Because it's just like
I don't know what a motion application is, to be honest with you. I always write things out. The motion application that they got, you know, they're forms that, you know, I may not fit what we have in mind. Yeah, I don't know what the motion application is.
Okay. It just kind of asks my name, address. One question. It says who's the plaintiff. You know, I don't know anywhere on the ticket that I have here. Does it say a plaintiff?
Why you don't want to use that, because of stuff like that. I believe you could put under unknown California entity. You know, because there's no district attorney who represents the people of the California in that county made an appearance, showing their face in court to charge you with the crime, because all complaints must be signed by the prosecutor, which is the district attorney, and the policeman is only a witness. He cannot be a prosecutor, and the judge can't be prosecuted, because that would be a, you know, a conflict of interest.
Right. Okay. So yeah. Okay. So I think that helps a little bit with the motion. And then, do I have a right to a trial by jury for traffic court?
That's a good question. And I talk about it in our traffic course. And California, generally speaking, no, because most traffic tickets are infractions. Infractions is the category of, you know, traffic violations created by California legislature, I think it was the 1960s or before 50s, in which you could not go to prison for them unless you get four of them. On the fourth one thereafter, you may go to prison, but on the first three, you cannot. It's only a fine. But the drawback to that is, because it is only a fine, you cannot go to prison, then that means that they don't give you a counsel. You have a right to a lawyer or public defender. Neither do they give you a jury trial. So if your ticket is a misdemeanor, like most minor crimes are misdemeanors, that's what they are, misdemeanors, a minor crime, you can go to prison 6 months or a year possibly. And therefore, because of that, you could go to jail for that long. So you have a right to a jury trial, and right to a counsel appointed by the court if you can't afford to get your lawyer. So, this what you got sounds to me like it's just infractions tickets. So, therefore, you don't have a right to trial by jury or lawyer.
Okay. Okay. I have a few questions for the cop if he shows up. I was going to ask him. Okay, so I'll ask him, A, did you make an oath to uphold the California and U.S. Constitution as described in Article 20 of the California Constitution? And if he says no, I plan to say, okay, well, I motion to impeach the witness. You're supposed to make an oath as an officer. And if he says yes, then I would go into do you think from that point I should go into the constitutional case law, or what do you think I should do at that point? If there's any way I can, like, trap him, you know what I mean?
Track the IRS employee, I mean, the policeman or the sheriff?
Yeah, it's a CHP.
I'm not sure what you mean by tracking them, but you can ask them those questions, but they will not really help you, unfortunately. For the traffic tickets, you know, you really ought to get the level one course and the traffic course, because the traffic course of penal law is focused on California law, my friend.
Okay.
You know, and ideally you'd have it, you do all this objection properly at your first appearance in court. That would be the thing to do.
Okay. Got it.
You know, but right now you can still do it, the challenge of jurisdiction, because there's no prosecutor, there's no complaint, and then take it on appeal.
Okay. So, okay. Makes sense. I think that's pretty much all the questions I have.
Okay. Very good, my friend. Thank you for being on the call, Greg. Let's now go to area code 815. And let's see if the caller from area code 815 has a question. If so, please give me your first name, my friend, and your telephone area code. Okay? No question from the caller from area code 815. Let's go to the caller from area code 479. If you have a question, call from area code 479. Please give me your first name and the state you call from.
Sure. First name is Jim, state of Arkansas. Earlier in the year, and it may have been the latter part of April, the first part of May, you had sent out an email referencing an IRS court case that was coming up. I thought it was the first part of June. I may be a little off on those dates, but if you remember that email that was sent out, could you give us an update on that case?
I covered that several weeks ago on one of the previous conference calls. It was, I believe, sometime in mid-June. I covered it mid to late June. I covered it there in more detail. So let me refer to that for a more full detail explanation. But basically, the short answer is that neither the person who was charged, Mr. Grant, nor the lawyer worked closely enough with me to make sure that he wins, and he was convicted, unfortunately. Everything was laid out for him, but and the problem is that I had forced them to work with Freedom Law. So if they want to do their own thing, or they're a lawyer that they got on their own, versus working with Freedom Law School, an attorney that I would get for them, unfortunately, that's the risk they took on knowing their law.
Okay, sure, I understand. And then another real quick question. The email that was sent out referencing this particular call, you had included a link to a letter from Aroma Patel with a revenue agent with the IRS.
Yes.
In that letter, who is the entity or person?
I will talk about that at the end of the questions, my friend. That's exactly what I'm going to talk about. So let me go over people's questions. I will talk about that in more detail.
Sure. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome, Jim. Does anybody else have any questions from area code 469? Does the call from area code 469 have a question?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, what is your name?
Michael from the state of Texas.
Very good, Michael. And how may I assist you?
Well, this is probably the juiciest of the cases, if I may say so. It's about a $150,000 federal tax case. Personally, I have not filed a tax return since 2003 because, as we all know, we're preaching to the choir here. I don't feel that there's any law that says I have to. I cited some case law, and I cited the legal definitions that they have, everything from person to citizen to the corporate United States that has jurisdiction only in D.C., everything down the line, citing IRC, pages 15, 16 pages, sent it in, return receipt requested to Secretary of IRS and his counterpart in Treasury. They said, your documentation is frivolous. We don't have to respond to you. And they sent a letter of collections to my employer saying that they're going to start levying and garnishing my wages to collect what they say are so-called personal income taxes that I owe. So just wondering what the best next step would be to start fighting these people.
So they sent a levy to your employer claiming you owe them about $150,000?
Yep, yep. For over the course of 15 years, they're saying that they have the authority to garnish this. As a matter of fact, I sent the letter.
For what tax years? For what tax years?
2003 all the way to 2015.
Wow, for a lot of years. No, I don't think so.
Yep.
That's not correct. They don't come after you for all those years. Do you file? You don't file, so they don't come after. 2015 is too early. But anyhow, you got a lot of years out, like, and you're not sure.
Yeah. I mean, I've got
Michael,
668.
How much do you make a month, and are you married or single? Do you have any children? Give me those information, please.
Oh, I'm single. I make about $105,000 a year, and I have I'm divorced many years. I just have a son that'll be on child support for about another 4 or 5 years.
Okay, all right. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have a definite answer for you because I need to look at your paperwork. Okay.
Right.
Because the only the problem is that you assumed that the government follows the laws as written in the IRS code, for example, on the Constitution. You did not know there exists a judicial conspiracy to protect and preserve the federal income tax, that these crooks are ignoring the law because they just want the money. They deliberately knowingly ignore the law because they just want the money like a bunch of thieves. So arguing them about the legality of income tax is like throwing pearl before swine.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I wanted a document that I attempted to, you know, return receipt requested the whole thing, that I attempted to provide them with the document so that I could say, I sent you notice that I'm within the law, so at least.
Give me something to drink. I'm dying of thirst. You don't want to take them. Give me a kebab and some water, please. Orange.
Yeah, I was just trying to notice them, you know, have at least on the record that I attempted to notice them according to the law, but we know they're not going to follow it.
Well, the way you beat them is on procedures and technicalities, and that's what I do. And at this point, really the only options left is one, going back to the system on tax returns and make a deal with them, which I don't like to do. I don't recommend, generally speaking. Everybody else does, but I don't. I know about it. I can do it, but that's really, really in my world, the last resort. We do the option of bankruptcy, but bankruptcy oftentimes not the answer long term for the person. So, that would be the other option. But the other option is to challenge the IRS, the other option is to quit the job. That sometimes, you know, is not an option for people to just go another job. That would be a pain. So the other option is to challenge the IRS procedure, but that will take a little time for it to happen. It won't be immediate to stop the levy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Meanwhile, you may need to have to do is to minimize the levy any way you can while you try to fix that.
Right. Yeah, that was my next thinking. At least try to call them and negotiate some type of an installment agreement while I try to fight it in the background.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
So what we should
yeah.
do, my friends, is do a one-on-one private consultation so I can go over with your paperwork in my hand.
Sure.
The levy.
Yep.
And all the other correspondence that you have with them. So I can review that, and based upon that, I can determine, you know, with you what is the best option going forward. Because, you know, all these years not doing the right thing, my friend, has got you to a bad spot, and that's going to hurt. If you don't do it right, IRS is going to take everything from you out of your paycheck and leave you only about maybe $1,500 a month, and take everything else about that $1,500. And that could have really, really hurt. So you're making about $8,000 a month, you know, or $9,000 a month. They're going to take most of that. They're going to take, you know, $7,000 plus every year. So let's do that one-on-one consultation right away so we can go over, see what's going on, and what's the best option for you at this point to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Just one final quick question. I appreciate it. A friend of mine that has done this methodology, he said, while you're fighting them, at least you could get them to stop withholding or garnishing. There's a form that you can file. It's called a withholding exemption certificate in lieu of Form W-4. And if mm-hmm. you notice, if you send this in with a strong letter to your employer documenting all of the case law, they will, you give them what is called a clean hands, whereby they then take that documentation and send it to IRS and say, hey, here's your law that says that this man is exempt from withholding or garnishment, because that's actually in the IRC. Meanwhile, of course, the IRS is not going to try. They're not going to stop trying to garnish other property that I have elsewhere, but at least they won't be able to steal my paycheck while I'm trying to fight it.
That is a
wonderful patron.
Let me tell you, that's a wonderful, baseless patron mythology, and it'll simply not work. If it'll work, I'll let you do this for you, my friend. I mean, there's a lot of that information out there. A lot of stuff you mentioned about sovereign state citizenship and of course, other stuff. There are patron mythologies. You and me are state and sovereign state and U.S. citizens at the same time. That's the problem, folks. There's a lot of patron mythologies out there, my friend. And people like you go out there and try to do this stuff, Michael, and you find that they didn't work. They didn't work then, and now that the rubber's meeting the road, now at this stage, they will not work. You're set, my friend, to $7,500 coming up this month.
Right.
Off the top, and every month. Okay. So that's why I speak of law school, Michael. I teach what I teach, and that's why I do what I do. And that's why I've been successful over 20 years doing this stuff, because other people don't try the same stuff as you, and the people that were lost, and the organization leader themselves lost. Because this stuff
that's
is
right.
baseless. They, mm-hmm. You're going to hear about my victory, how I myself beat them. On my website, you see, I have many victories, you know, but I got to look at a particular fact of your case. I wish I could give you a simple, one-size-fits-all answer like everybody else tries to give you. Oh, just do this and just blow them away.
Oh, no. No, I understand. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. As a matter of fact, a buddy of mine told me, a Persian friend of mine told me to call you, and he said, if he solves this for you, call him forever. Pay manjun. Forever.
Yes. Yeah. Bir in Persian.
Yeah.
Yes. How about that? Hi.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
Michael, send me your paperwork, my friend. Okay. I love the 240 cash only for 1 hour consultation by express or priority mail. Have all your phone numbers there. Write me, a paragraph or two or page about your situation in your own words. Give me a good background. I'll call you as soon as possible. Let's talk. And let's stop this hemorrhage from starting or minimize it as best as we can.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
You're most welcome, Mike. I look forward to your call.
Take care.
Okay. All right, folks. I know you guys want to hear about the email we sent you to all of you about how Freedom Law School prevailed over the IRS yet again. Please be patient, folks. I want to get all of your calls answered. I'm here to help you all and tell you about all the stories. Let's get your next callers and answer your questions. I'm going to talk about that also. We have a call from area code 424. If you have a question, call from area code 424. Please give your first name and the state and then your question, please. Okay. And no question there. Let's go to the call from area code 717 if you have a question. Please give your first name. State and your telephone area code. I mean, your state and your question. Okay, no question there. Let's go to the caller from area code 443. If you have a question, Please give me your first name, state, and then your question, please.
My name is James. Can you hear me?
Yes, James. From where?
Okay. I'm from Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland.
Very good, James. And how may I assist you, James?
Okay. I got the IRS garnishing me without a court order.
Just like Michael called, he's about to get to that. How much have they been taking out of your paycheck, and how much they claim you owe them for what years?
I've been dealing with this since 1998. So they went back and they garnished me, and they're taking $370 every 2 weeks out of me. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Now I've spoken to a judge, actually this past week, and he told me they can't do it, but they're doing it anyway. But the judge never told me how to go about filing whatever about, you know, against them. You know what I'm saying? I've sent them notice 4 times, certified mail.
Okay. Well, what you did, my friend.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That what?
Go ahead.
And I mean, I know about all the law. You know, 26 USC 7401. They can't collect back taxes unless all of a sudden you have a letter from the Secretary of Treasury. You know, I know about UCC 13-08 and all that. But the thing is. You know how it is? These people don't care. They send a letter to your employer, and your employer gets scared. You know what I'm saying? So they want to take taxes out of you.
Well, the part of the problem is that most patriots who have not heard of IRS Code Section 7421, right? Go on your computer, everybody. Yeah. Make up your search engine,
right.
Google, Yahoo, Bing, whatever you use. Go on there and type in what I'm going to give you. And you're going to see the law. This is one of the most reprehensible evil laws, in my opinion, out there in our system. Okay, go on your computer, type in 26 space USC space 7421, enter. What you just looked for is Title 26 of federal laws, the Category 26 of federal laws, which is taxes. 26 USC, that's what USC stands for, United States Code. And 7421 is a section, that part of the Title 26.
Right.
And it comes up. I use Google, and it comes up right there. The first one is by Cornell Law University. You know, law.cornell.edu, whatever that. You click on that, okay? And you're going to read that, and you're going to want to throw up. It's such an evil law. It's called the Al Capone Law, in my opinion. What does it say? You got it. If you can't read it, I'll bring it for you. It says, except as provided in sections, there's about, you know, dozen sections mentioned in there. So except as provided in these dozen code sections specifically, no suit, which is lawsuit, okay, go to court, for the purpose of restraining the assessment or collection of any tax. Restrain means to stop. The assessment means to determine, evaluate, fix the amount of a tax or a collection of a tax shall be maintained in any court by any person, whether or not such person is the person against whom such tax was assessed. Even if you're the wrong guy, you're going to challenge the assessment or collection of a tax unless specifically provided in the IRS code. In other words, when the government got the gun over your employer's head, the bank's head, somebody that owes you money, you cannot go to court to stop them. You cannot stop them. Yes, except as those things that are specifically provided in law. Of course, the one other thing that's not in there is the bankruptcy, which of course is indirectly mentioned in there. So that's the problem, my friend, is that that's the situation. And the only thing we can do is your option is really the same as I talked to Michael, except with you, they've been taking money for a while, Michael, James, whereas with Michael, they have not started taking his money yet. So you and I should talk privately with your paperwork, what you have done, what you have not done, what the IRS has done, what the IRS has not done.
Okay.
And I got to find how I can find them. The IRS makes mistakes. They don't follow their own procedures. They follow your rights and their procedures and how we can beat them. You know, that's what I look for, generally speaking, to stop situations like this. Other than that, how much they claim you owe them still, by the way? Do you know how much they came after you for?
Well, let me tell you this. They've already taken $16,000 out of me. Okay?
Okay.
And I'll tell you what. You know what? I don't know if you ever heard of a 4852?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they try to say that I haven't filed, you know what I'm saying, you know, taxes. So I said, okay. So I said, well, I'm going to file the correct taxes, and I filed it on 4852. And where I said to them, I never had no income, no wages. And I even put the law down in there. And the thing is, so all of a sudden she came, the lady sent me a thing, said frivolous filing. So I said, you can't give me frivolous filing unless you got a letter from the Secretary of the Treasury. It states right in there, frivolous filing. You can't have you got to have a letter in there stating from the Secretary of Treasury what it's stating that I have frivolous file. Because I never frivolous filed. All I said is that they've paid you money that they mistakenly paid you, and I want it back. That's all it is.
Well, bottom line is, my friend, you can sue the IRS, nor can sue the employer.
Well, the judge did tell me this, the file a lien on the guy that actually filed a claim on me. He said to file a lien on him. And
was he a judge in the court tell you that? Or outside the court?
The district court, civil court. Yeah.
That judge was a state judge. He doesn't know federal law. Federal law is very different.
Okay.
And I just gave you the law, my friend. You can go listen to the recordings of this call and check it out for yourself, what I just told you. That's how it works. And then the IRS Code Section 6332E also protects the employer from being sued by you for turning over your money to the IRS. So there's a problem here, my friend. You know, these guys got an Al Capone system set up. You know, they got to just take your money. But I got to look at the procedures, what can be done, my friend. There is no quick, easy, straight answer, as much as I wish there was.
Right. I understand that. You know what? Like I said, I've been dealing with this since 1998. It ain't like no quick fix, you know what I'm saying? But I like I told him, I said, I'm tired of this, you know what? And, you know, Jesus, between them and child support, Jesus, you know what I told him? I said, what do I live on? Nothing?
Yeah.
Error?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know. But let me take some other people's calls. You know, let's do the one-on-one consultation. Let me see your paperwork. Then I can give you some better options what to do, my friend. Okay? I'm doing that 1 hour.
Okay.
I'll fully analyze the situation. I'll tell you what your options are, A, B, C. I'll tell you each option, their risk, their cost, their benefits, likelihood of success, and the likely outcome, so that you can decide, hey, besides going along, just let them take your money like this, can you do anything else? We'll do that, my friend, okay?
All right, I appreciate it.
You're welcome, James. Let's go to the call we have from area code 951 in California. If you have a question, call from area code 951. Please give me your first name and your state, and then your question, please.
This is Alan Payman. Good to talk to you this evening. Just a question in regards to tickets. Parked on the street and got a few tickets for parking on the street doing sweeping. And is there any way to deal with that without having to pay it?
Yes, but it's a hassle, honestly. Are you working right now?
No.
No, you may want to do it then because you got the time. Yeah, the procedures are there. you challenge them. You're right, though. I don't know this ticket. You and follow the procedures on the ticket. And then they will rule against you almost always. You appeal that. Make sure you get it, and you can appeal that late to a regular court. And then when you go to a regular first you tell them that, hey, there's no complainant here. There's no prosecutor. You never got a verified complaint. There's no prosecutor after you. Same things I teach in my traffic course. But they're going to ignore it. But on appeal, you go to a regular court. You bring up the same thing. Say there was no prosecutor, no complaint. You know, dismiss it. That's essentially it, my friend. Another problem you got, my friend, with this issue, Alan, is that parking tickets like that are not very high. They're maybe in California, they're higher than other places. They're $50 to $100. So it's not worth the time and hassle a lot of times to do it despite it. And go to court many times and write them and go to court to parking. But if you're unemployed, it's worth it. What do you got to lose anyhow?
Okay. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you. Right, I appreciate it.
You're most welcome. Okay, let's go to our call from area code 952. If you have a question, call from area code 952. Please give me your first name and your state, please. Call from area code 252. If you're there, if you have a question, please give me your first name and your state and then your question, please. Okay. Well, it looks like everybody's question has been answered tonight. I'm going to go to the subject of the class tonight. That every conference call, I have some kind of a teaching education about some freedom area subject. And tonight is about Freedom Law School's victory over the IRS. Many of you got the email about it that was sent out by Freedom Law School. And I want to refer to that email. You want to bring it up on your computer. If you do have a computer, you can click on the documents that are hyperlinked in there, and I will tell you more about those as they come up, because that right there just has everything there for you. So if you click on in there, you'll see that the very first click in there is the IRS letter conceding defeat. If you look at that letter, you click on that, the one that says IRS is conceded being defeated. And the top right, it shows date of July 11, 2016. It's very new. Less than a month ago was mailed to me from the IRS in San Diego, California. And it was signed by Roma Patel, revenue agent. So this lady, I think, must be Asian Indian, because Patel is an Indian name, but it doesn't matter. And it says, "Dear Mr. Motahede, we are discontinuing our investigation into whether you are liable for a penalty under Internal Revenue Code IRS sections." They mention, seven different sections. 6694 and a bunch more. If you look at these code sections, folks, and you can do them, just put 26 space USC. And that section number, 6694, for example. It'll come up on your computer. You'll see it. They all have to do with penalties, abusive tax shelter promoters, or people that prepare fraudulent returns, right? So they're, by law, they must give you a letter that investigation is over. That's what they did, that, folks. IRS did not want to tell me they stopped their investigation. Okay, they're discontinuing this stop. But they have to, because that's the law, they have to tell me. Now, they're stopped even looking at me on that issue. Now, they say, check out the language. This letter should not be construed to mean that the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, approves your conduct. Oh, well, we're not saying you all kosher either. They're saying, it is simply a notice that our investigation has been discontinued at this time. And that's all it's saying. At this time only, we have stopped investigating you for this issue. The IRS is not precluded. That means it's not prohibited. They're not stopped you know, from taking any additional action against you or others with respect to your conduct. So they say, we're still going to come after you, is what they're saying. And they continue by saying, this includes the commencement of income tax examinations of investors / participants whom you advise or aided. Oh, so they can come after you, you know, and I don't know what they call any investor or participants, you know, and some tax scheme that I've advised or aided, you know. They don't say participant and what, you know. If they have any questions, call me, Roma Patel. Well, so you notice in the letter, it's simply a notice that our investigation has been discontinued at this time. Well, you think, well, when did this investigation start? A month ago? 6 months ago? 2 years ago? I mean, look at Hillary Clinton, right? She deliberately put multiple servers in her house with the knowledge of her corrupt criminal husband, Bill, with the aid of some other co-conspirators. So a bunch of 33,000 emails can go to her to conduct official government and personal business on it. And classified and top secret emails went there. And 33,000 of them were, by her lawyers, erased, which is a crime, by the way. Erasing evidence of crime is a crime by itself. So the lawyers of Hillary Clinton erased all that. But guess what? Within a year, when it all started, about a year or so, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, when was the Benghazi-Libya scandal started? 2 years ago, I think it was. So they covered it up. Oh, it's over. It's done. You know, we don't have to look at it anymore. Well, in my case, it took him over 13 years to just say, oh, well, we'll leave you alone for right now. Okay? Now, what you want to do is go ahead and click on the email on the next thing that says IRS's initial investigation. Okay? You click on IRS's initial investigation, and that will bring you to the page in which I described what this whole episode is all about. When it started way back then, originally, on March 15, 2003. In March 15, 2003, over 13 years ago, is when it first wrote me a letter. And the letter in there, as you see in the bolded area explaining all this, says, we have reviewed certain materials with respect to your tax shelter promotions, including but not limited to Freedom Law School and related promotions. We are considering possible action, of course, against me, Jay, you know, to close up Freedom Law School under section, blah, 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 five different sections of the Internal Revenue Code name list, right? So, and if you want to look at that letter, go down further. You see there's a hyperlink in the blue. Paragraph number one, if you see the April 16th IRS letter they sent to me, which is written by IRS's head honcho, Frank Nixon, you know, who's the area director of the IRS Laguna Niguel office. Laguna Niguel, you know, is the office that, you know, the biggest office in Southern California, next to, even bigger than Los Angeles office, actually. Okay, Frank Nixon, area director. That honcho writes to me. And if you notice the letter, the canned letter. On the bottom left, it says letter 3164P. Why is it canned letter? Because our employees are stupid. They're ignorant, uneducated. They cannot write a letter on their own to think. So I use the lawyers of the IRS to send form letters for them to just fill in the blanks. Even the area director, he uses form letters. Even for him, He can write a letter on his own. Okay? And the language of the first paragraph is a canned language. We reviewed certain materials with respect to your tax, social promotions. Folks, me, I never had any tax, social promotions. That's a bunch of bogus nonsense. Conclusion. Okay? They say, I have tax, social promotions. You know, see, that this is how they come. How they approach you. You're guilty until proven innocent, you know? So what I did is I wrote back to these guys, okay, to these crooks in the IRS, ignorant crooks, okay? If you click on that, next you see there is a, they wrote me May 23rd, right, to Freedom Law School. And then I wrote a letter May 14th, 2003. And the letter is several pages wrong, okay? And I asked some questions about what the heck are you guys talking about? You know, what is this? You know, and I tell them right there in a letter that the letter assumes and concludes that I'm promoting a tax shelter. The letter does not say that I might be promoting a tax shelter, but it unequivocally, definitely assumes and concludes that I already have a tax shelter that I'm promoting. They just jump the gun. They just assume and conclude things, you know, like I'm a spy, or, you know, you're a terrorist, you know, you're an evil man, you know, nonsense. That these guys do. Then at the same time, what these guys do, May 15th of 2003, they also issue a summons to me. Oh, they issue a summons to me to appear before this Marilyn Steberg, okay, that is asking me all kind of documents about things like freedom dollars, you know. You know, all kind of stuff that, you know, that I don't even have, or it's none of their business. You know, they're just assuming a bunch of nonsense. You know, they're intrusion, total intrusion, pages of stuff they ask you, just listening to them, you know. What happens? You go to number 4 and that article, I respond to them on May 29th. To this Marilyn Steberg. And I tell him, look, you guys got, you know, you're confusing me. Do you want me to come to summons? Or you want me to come to meeting? How am I supposed to call you? You know, hey, what is this all about? Yeah, sure, forget about the letter. Just only the summons. You know? And I tell him, look, you know, you were way out there, folks. These guys were Santa Ana, California, which was about 80 miles away from, you know, where I lived in Phelan, California, in the desert of California, on the way to Vegas. So I said, look, if you want to meet, I have no problem meeting with anybody. I'm not afraid of you guys. We'll meet. But, hey, why don't we meet someplace closer, like in Hesperia, close to me, or Ontario, which would be in a halfway. And I said, look, guys. And listen, Marilyn Steberg, I wrote a letter to you on April 30th, you know, and I'm waiting for an answer. So please give me an answer to my letters, and let's get a response, and let's get this thing, you know, get this thing settled, put this whole thing behind us. So what happens? The IRS, on June 25th, writes me a letter. It's Marilyn Steberg. Writes me a letter, and thank goodness, they have a few employees with actually some intelligence level. Ms. Marilyn Steberg, obviously not a stupid idiot, because she actually writes me a 2-page letter that she had to think up and write up by herself. And in the letter, she explains what they're doing. That, well, you know, we think, you know, you might be doing this. And she admits that the letter that they sent to me, it jumped the gun. You know, they assumed the letter was assumptive, that I'm promoting an illegal tax shelter. And they said, you know, well, the meeting was requested to provide you an opportunity to demonstrate that you are not promoting an illegal tax shelter. Okay. The best way for you to do that, if you are not promoting an illegal tax shelter, is to provide us with the information we have requested and fully cooperate. See, that's their approach of these dictator criminal thieves at the IRS. The best thing for you to do is just to give us everything we ask about your life and your affairs and business and whatever we can think of that you don't even have. Anything we can imagine, just give it all to us. And we'll go through every aspect of your life. And based upon that, we can tell you if you're doing anything illegal or not. So, folks, what the government's saying, these IRS officials, send them everything about your life and let them tell you if you're doing anything illegal or not. And if you are doing illegal, then they're going to get you because you just gave them everything voluntarily. See, it's a bunch of nonsense. That's not the way America works. In America, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And I stood on that principle. Okay? And, you know, so she didn't mention anything about the summons or come to it, you know, whatsoever, you know, that you don't have to come to a summons or meet with us. The letter was basically, hey, if you want to meet with us, come on down and show us all your documents and we can see you're not guilty. Well, I didn't do that. I stood on my rights, gave them nothing. And throughout my tax court litigation I've been having, oh, for the last, over 5 years now, even before tax court communication and tax court, even 6 years or so, I came across documents they gave me that, oh, there's Marilyn Steeper and others at the IRS in meeting and conspiring against me. Against Paymont, the president of the law school. There's Marilyn Steeper and her manager get together with an IRS auditor and the auditor's manager, IRS revenue or collection officer and his manager, IRS lawyer and his manager, Kevin Coy and Sherry Wilders is the name of the IRS lawyers, by the way, for the record. These guys meet to talk, and they talk about me by my first name, Paymon. And I heard Marilyn Siebert in an email say to another IRS employee, oh, that's the Paymon I know. Wow, these guys got to know me quite a bit, didn't they? They told me they have 8,000 pages on me that they had put together about, compiled. But about 5-6 years ago they told me that? It took them a year and a half to filter through all that 8,000 pages and refuse to give me 7,000 of it. And the other 1,000 was heavily blacked out also because I was subject of criminal investigation potentially, and I still am. I know, I assume I am, if they don't call it that. So because they don't like me, and I don't like them. They don't like what I do, and I don't like what they do to American people. They're a bunch of criminal whores. The IRS agents are mostly just working for the money, okay? Who's worked for them? Politicians like criminal Hillary Clinton, the crooked criminal murderer Clinton, and she's a murderer too, and I mean it. who work for the big banks and corporations and other money powerful special interests who buy off these political horrors like Hillary and Bill Clinton and George Bush and other politicians who own the IRS to steal money from the American people like you and me to funnel the pocket of the banksters, Chase, Goldman Sachs, other crooked big banksters, Wall Street, warmongers, you know, big gun manufacturers, you know, like Boeing, okay, all these guys and his crooks who owned the government for a long time. And folks, it's time for a revolution, a peaceful revolution. Get our government, get our country back. So it's nice. It's nice that they're going to be, you know, I'm going to get a copy of all the stuff they've had on me, and let's see how long they'll take. How long they're going to take to filter out and delay it. Blackout stuff, you know, because, oh, Paymon may just find out what are we doing. Oh, why are we looking at him often? You know? But I know I'm not doing anything illegal. These conference calls are all recorded. Go ahead, IRS. Put it in my file. I'm talking about Cheryl, you know, Marilyn Spielberg and Kevin Corey, Sherry Wilder, these lawyers and these crooks. Go ahead. It's all public because I'm educating American people about your lies, your criminalities, your deception and hurting of the American people and stepping on the U.S. Constitution and American laws. Folks, you can win too. If you know about the law and your rights and the proper procedures you need to assert to defend your rights, your liberty, and your property, you can win too. That is why I founded the Freedom Law School 20 years ago on January 1st, 1996. To educate and empower the average, ordinary American like you who doesn't have a law degree, or even many of you, even a four-year or two-year college degree. Doesn't matter. You can know about the law and your rights and the proper procedures to live free. And then now, since 2001, the FIDA packages that I have available, also assistance is available if you need letter writing to these crooks like I go to them to get these criminals to leave you alone or beat them. I beat them too, by the way. I got that on my website, $700,000 win. I erased $700,000 illegal liens they put on me, pages long. I got official court documents, tax forms that zeroed all these liens, removed them all. You can do it too. Freedom Law School is here to educate you, assist you, guide you through, help you with the letter writings to win and live free. Now, what I want you to do, folks, is do what you want to do in your heart, is to tell your friends, hey, we can win. We have a chance to win. We can fight. We should fight. Get with Freedom Law School. Become a fan of us on Facebook. Get on our email list. Forward our emails to other people, and let's expand this freedom movement and get our country, get our government back. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you'll be back again at future weekly conference calls at Freedom Law School, and I'll be there to answer your questions as best as I can. What I'm going to do now, before I do that, I guess, I'm going to see if anybody has any questions about this issue. Does the call from area code 847 or 815 to either one of you have a question? If so, give me your first name and your telephone area code that you call from and your question. Okay, no questions there. Let's go to Jim from Arkansas or James from Maryland. If you have a question, guys, announce yourself and ask me a question now.
No, I don't have no questions, brother.
Okay. How about Alan from California or the calls from area code 9-1. If you have a question, guys, go to and announce yourself and ask the question now. Okay. How about the call from area code 978? If you have a question, please announce yourself and ask your question right, my friend.
What's this?
If you have any question about this issue that you want to ask me about Fair Law School's win over the IRS after 30 years, they finally conceded defeat, and they closed their investigation of me as an abusive tax shelter promoter. You have no questions? All right, my friend. Well, thank you again for being with me, folks, on this call. And let's get together, folks. Let's educate ourselves. Let's fight for freedom together. Let's have you live free and work together and have America also be a free country once again. Good night, everyone.